And we are off and running on a marvelous Monday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff Byers, it's Scott Giese, and hey kids, it could be you.
Oh boy.
Your phone calls are welcome at 814-954-7266, 814-954-7266, as we start the week of gratitude here on the big show. What? No show on Thursday. It's Thanksgiving, don't you know?
Really?
It is.
Oh, the calendar. Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not coming in on Thursday, folks. Hope you don't mind, okay? Just watch the parade, whatever parade, the Macy's parade. There you go. Just watch the Macy's parade on Thursday. So you made your way back here from West Point.
We made it.
Boy, they struggled through yesterday.
They managed.
We will have the sports segment next, which will that take a half an hour again?
Probably pretty close to it. Last week it did. Probably pretty close
to it. There is so much sports stuff out there.
And there's a lot going on.
All right, that Saturday night thing, whatever that was. So stay tuned for that. And we have some open line time now, but also later on. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, expected to join us later next hour. Weather this week, well, it's a holiday. A beautiful, gorgeous morning. Get out and enjoy it today. Tomorrow, rainy. Wednesday, rainy. And then I think Thursday on, cold. Okay, get ready for a chilly Thanksgiving. All right, so we'll let Joe fill in more on that later on this next hour. Yes, this is Thanksgiving break. All right, Penn State, Thanksgiving break, which means for folks from out of town, it's safe to come back into town. Okay, just telling you, it's a relatively quiet week as opposed to normal. Schools, well, okay. What's the Mad Turtle doing today? Because he's not going to school, right?
Oh, he's got just a fun-filled day where he gets his cast off, pin pulled. We'll go to wrestling practice and reacquaint ourselves, although not actually practicing. So, yeah, we've got quite the first day.
All right.
A couple of other appointments in there for the Mad Turtle today.
State College, no school this week. They follow the Penn State schedule, so no school for them. Everybody else, I think I'm right on this, everybody else, school today, school tomorrow, and then their Thanksgiving break starts on Wednesday. All right? So follow that as you can. A big thank you. Where's my bell? Big thank you to the folks who took the time to come to the Giant Store, Benner Pike outside Bellefont on Friday, and dropped off either some food donations or some money donations. We were there all day Friday, and then that stuff went to the Faith Center of Bellefont to help some of our neighbors in need. All right, so if you took the time to stop by on Friday, a big thank you to you. All right, that is those folks that end up getting whatever the various things and so on. I know that they will be very appreciative. All right, now, of course, we say this isn't a busy week, but it is a busy week, right? We got Thanksgiving. Wednesday is supposed to be like the biggest travel day of the year. Again, AAA claims that over 80 million people will be on the move this week. 90% of them will be driving, so it's not all flying, although the flying is supposed to be pretty busy as well. So we got Thanksgiving on Thursday, and then, of course, Shop-a-palooza or something for those of you that wait that long. Although my friend here, Mr. Ironhead, when does Christmas shopping season begin? I forget.
We are only just under a month away. It was a month from yesterday. Christmas shopping officially, the Christmas shopping season gets underway on December 23rd, as most of us know. I would think you would have learned that by now.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But yeah, so less than a month before we got to start getting our list together and start heading out and making those purchases for the holidays.
Well, maybe you want to take your headphones off. You don't want to hear this next part, okay?
What pray tell do you have there?
Well, the National Retail Foundation, all right? They claim Well, this first thing we do, they claim we're going to have a record number of shoppers this weekend. Not a month from now.
What?
This weekend, they're going to have a record number of shoppers.
What in the world?
According to the retail, in America, by the way, not other parts of the world, like right here. Okay.
As in the United States of that America?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow.
This weekend, not a month from now. No, sorry. According to them, they claim that from Thanksgiving through Cyber Monday, that's next Monday, 187 million consumers are expected to shop.
Wow, that is madness. Madness,
actually,
I tell you.
Actually, I agree with you. It is madness. All right, come on, folks, really? Yikes. And it says Thursday through Cyber Monday, so some of you apparently can't wait. You're going to start shopping on Thursday? All right, well, have a good time. Now, it's interesting because for, what, months now, we've been hearing, and maybe you've been doing it, that people are holding on to their money. You know, prices for this, that, and the other thing are higher, and people aren't happy, and we need to make things affordable and so on. And yet, according to the National Retail Foundation, you folks are going to go bananas this weekend, just shopping, buying stuff. They expect that holiday sales, now this would be for the entire holiday, not just this weekend. They expect holiday sales will top $1 trillion for the first time ever. Now that doesn't jive, does it? On the one hand, oh, things are not great, oh, affordability, oh, rah, rah. And yet the retailers claim that you are going to go out and spend at least $1 trillion combined. $1 trillion for this holiday season. All right, we'll see what happens when it's all said and done. Those two do not jive, do they? They don't go together. So let's sit back now. You know, maybe you've got your shopping list and whatever, or you're going to wait till, what is it, December 23rd? You're going to wait till December 23rd when the real shopping season begins.
I mean, that's the traditional
preliminary stuff. Okay. So I don't know. I saw that number. I'm like, wait a minute. That we just been hearing for weeks, unaffordable. People are not spending, and yet now they're. Some of you are just going to explode this weekend. All right, whatever. Of course, once we get into the holidays, it's movie time. Don't know who. Maybe if you went to go see the Wicked sequel movie, Wicked for Good.
Not yet, but we'll get there.
Apparently some of you did over the weekend. They always do this by weekends. Over the weekend brought in $150 million. That's a pretty good opening weekend. I didn't go see it, but I mean, it looks interesting. The Zootopia sequel is supposed to come out on Wednesday.
Yeah, we want to see that.
You
want
the little guy wants to go see
one?
All right. What's the name of the movie? I forgot to write this down. There's a mystery series called, it began, the first movie was called Knives Out. Remember a few years ago, Knives Out came out. Daniel Craig used to be James Bond. I like him. I think he's great.
He is.
He plays the kind of southern drawl detective. The guy's British. Southern drawl detective. Well, the third Knives Out movie, I think, is going to have some kind of a release, I believe, this week. That one I might want to go see. All right? I think that's a pretty good movie. And it's not necessarily a sequel. Come on, Wicked is a sequel. Zootopia is a sequel. Hollywood's not had a good year. I mean, the movie receipts have not been good. And so they're desperately hoping for a great holiday season. Well, they're kind of off to a good start. We'll see what happens over the next several weeks. All right. Let's see. What else do we have here on a Monday? Well, this is interesting. All right. Now, again, there are so many media outlets out there, and they do all kinds of rankings and all this sort of thing. So I came across this one the other day. Let's see. Hold on. This is from, or do we have a call?
We have a call.
All right. You take the call.
All right. Well, good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Howdy.
Scott, I've got a question for you.
Pending
something that we went over last week about Hooked on Phonics. Why does the word phonics start with the letter PH?
Oh, oh, geez. He's laughing before he even gives the punchline.
Yeah. It's got to be FONIX, correct?
Clearly,
I don't know.
I mean, that's got to be one of the mysteries of the world. There.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I thought this was a joke. All right, I'm sorry. You go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it is a joke, I guess.
It is a joke, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Jeff, you did okay this weekend. I didn't hear some statistics I was looking forward to, but I believe it or not, I'm such a nerd about this, I actually kept track of all the bouts when I was listening to you, which was difficult since you're watching six at a time.
It was a challenge, yeah.
I think, and this is fairly accurate, the non-pins from Penn State and against, when they're not face-to-face in the finals, they scored something like 590 bout points. That, I mean, 17-4 major, Tech Fall, et cetera.
Yeah.
It was almost 600, and I think they had like 107, and 56 of those were escapes.
That sounds about right.
Wow.
That sounds about right.
Now, I don't know what the takedown total was, but it must have been about 106,000 to 9 or something like that.
Whoosh.
I mean, that was incredible. And I know the competition is somewhat suspect. I'm sure there were a handful of wrestlers that were a challenge, but obviously being this early, you don't know anything about Nagal, but sight on scene, I wasn't able to watch any of it, but is it like an elbow, a shoulder, or something, or could you tell?
It looked like it looked like a shoulder to me, and the way he was holding his arm, again, very, this is just me looking at it, I will be pleasantly surprised if we see him again this season. The way he was carrying his arm, again, hoping for the very best, obviously, after everything he's been through, but it did not look promising.
Probably want to keep the sharp knives away from him. What a, a bad luck guy. I mean, the guy you can tell has got real talent, but man, I was really looking forward to see him wrestle a full year healthy.
Yep, me too.
What are our options now, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of things to sort through. Obviously, you have Masa Ono and Brayton Davis both on the roster and both capable of competing at that weight. They don't need to make a final decision here anytime real soon, but they gotta get it figured out fairly quickly. You do have Cale Nasdio there that they could probably step in as well. Kyson Garcia could go up a weight as well and challenge. So I mean they do have some options. It depends a little bit, obviously, on what they want to do redshirt wise. It depends a little bit on what they're hearing eligibility wise regarding Ono. So that just a some moving parts there that they'll have to sort through here over the next probably couple of weeks anyway.
Oh, no, would be capable at that weight, correct?
I think he'd be okay.
Is that his weight?
Yeah, I think he'd be okay there.
Yeah. Well, I hope maybe we'll hope for the best for Nagal, but if it's not going to happen, hopefully they get an extra year even for Ono, and we got even more options. But the dude at, can't remember his name, at 125 must be something, huh?
Yeah, Nate Desmond is, no question, he is a super talent. I wouldn't read too much into
No.
I think it speaks volumes about Desmond's talent. I do think, Luke Lilladol will be just fine. I think he's, sometimes those, and it's why Cale has always, like these tournaments are important to see how they wrestle against outside competition. Now, Desmond wrestled sensationally all weekend long. But sometimes when you get into wrestling teammates, like they know each other so well and they kind of know each other's strengths and weaknesses. And sometimes, even though that's the barometer that folks generally use to settle a starting lineup. Sometimes that's not necessarily in and of itself the best tell as to which one's the better competitor. But listen, Penn State, they have two superstars there at 125. They have probably three superstars at 157, a couple at 197. I mean, this is, when we talk about this team and its depth, it is a very real thing. And I just don't think we've ever seen a college program with this type of the combination of top-end talent and then truly elite depth.
I think Searley's something to be handled, right?
Yeah, he just, when he gets his movement going and when he's healthy, he is, I mean, there's a reason he was one of the most sought-after prospects in the country coming out of high school a couple of years ago. He is... you go up and down that lineup, there's probably 20 to 24 kids that you, out of the 30 on the roster that are, elite talent wise. And yeah, Joe Searley is certainly one of those.
We could almost, and it'd be interesting. Obviously, it's not going to get, you know, nobody's going to try it, but I wouldn't be surprised if we could win the Nationals with the backup guys.
Yeah, I had somebody asking me about that. The quote unquote backup again would include, you know, right, if you're looking at the non-starters, might be the better way to put it. So the guys that are redshirting like Ono and Kasak. Yeah, I mean, that team could certainly put up a lot of points at Nationals. Probably could at least challenge, probably anybody else in the country. Other than the, you know, the starting lineup, yeah, for the Nittany Lions this year.
Since you got the real inside dope, you think, you know, I mentioned this right after last year's Nationals, what Penn State needs is like four or five more weight classes. are we going to be able to keep everybody on board, you suspect?
Yeah, I don't know that. There's so many variables now that come into play. I suspect the majority of the roster will stay intact because I think most of these kids are here because they feel like this is the best place for them and their families, and they're trying to become the best they can be. Now, that doesn't preclude, again, somebody offers substantially, yeah, more money and hey, you can come start for us. Yeah, that's a pretty attractive opportunity if you're a kid that, again, has elite talent but can't crack the starting lineup here. So we'll see how it plays out over the coming years. I think most of these kids will be here long term.
We're solid in the broadcast booth. I mean, you haven't got any outside offers that...
Not yet, but I'm listening. Listening to the big offers out there, kids.
I'll scout around, and you'll probably have to drag Geesey with you if you go.
There you go.
Oh, that dragging is the right word.
Drag away.
You guys have a really good week.
You as well. Happy Thanksgiving if we don't talk to you beforehand.
All right. Thanks for the call. Open line time for now for a couple more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
814-954-7266. All right, yeah, I came across this from U.S. News and World Report, and they like to rank things. All right. The top 20, well, hold on a second here. The 25 best places to retire in 2026, so this would be next year. The top 25 best places to retire. Now, no great surprise, you go down this list, most of them are either in Florida or Texas. All right. Now, the upper Midwest has several, which is kind of interesting. But the one that really caught my eye, I'm like, seriously? Really? Number 8 on the list.
Checking in at number 8 with a bullet.
Is not State College, okay? State College did not make the top 25. Number 8 is Altoona. How about that? Altoona.
Altoona, Iowa?
Is number... No, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona, Pennsylvania!
The one down the road is number 8 of the best places to retire list. I'm like, really? Okay, I'm not trying to knock Altoona. I have many friends in Altoona. I'm like, really? Okay.
I have many friends in Altoona, and I do want to knock Altoona.
No, stop that. All right, come on. So this little write-up here, it mentions, well, you know, like, okay, what does Altoona have that makes them number eight? Well, it says they've got Penn State Altoona. All right, I like Penn State Altoona. Been there a number of times. They have the Altoona Curve baseball team, which is very popular, you know, down in Blair County especially.
Thing is, we have Penn State University Park. We have the State College Spikes. But go ahead with your list.
Well, they have the Altoona Symphony Orchestra. Okay. I mean, there's an orchestra here. I don't know, maybe it's not as big as Altoona's. I'm not sure.
We all, well.
And it says they have a growing arts and music scene. All right. Now, first of all, whenever they have these rankings, they do this by numbers. So population, earnings, you know, all that sort of thing. According to the, I can see now why Altoona's number eight on this list.
Yeah.
Assuming that this number is accurate.
Because I can't. I'm not listening.
It says a medium home value in Altoona is only $115,000. Now, all the other towns in this top 25 thing are way more than that. I mean, some are over $300,000 or more. This, according to this, Altoona's median home value, that's like in the middle someplace, is only $115,000. And the median monthly rent, so if you rent down there, the median monthly rent is only $665. Some of these other towns are twice that much or more.
Yeah.
So now that's interesting. Around here, we've been complaining forever. We need affordable housing, affordable housing. I think we found it. It's in Altoona.
Hmm.
So apparently we need to find a way to pick it up and bring it up by 99 up this direction. Altoona is, I guess, very, very affordable. Now, we got to take a break because we have our Jigunda sports segment coming up. If you're, later on, when we open the phones again, if you're from Altoona or you have a lot of, you know, knowledge of Altoona and so on, first
we'll
off.
We'll start speaking slower so that you can follow
that.
Along.
That's not nice.
What?
Okay. If you,
just
like.
Just screwing around.
Those numbers I just mentioned, are. Does that sound right to you? I mean, I've never owned a home or rented in Altoona. I have no idea. But that would be why they're number eight. Those numbers are unbelievably low. And, of course, here we are up by 99, and let's be frank, our numbers are unbelievably high. Well, why is that? We're right next to each other. That's kind of weird. Think about that. All right, we're going to take a break. All right, we're going to come back. You got your deep breath. This is going to take like a half an hour.
I'm getting warmed up.
Holy moly.
A little honey and tea. Here we go.
15 minutes for wrestling and 15 for everything else.
Uh-huh.
And skip the Steelers. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports, I love Pittsburgh sports, we both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. It is Thanksgiving week, big travel week for a lot of you, big football week for all right-thinking Americans, and yes, a wonderful meal awaiting many of us. Again, there are a lot of folks putting together Thanksgiving dinners. If you are in need, you can, we'll be promoting some of those over the course of the next few days, but, take advantage of the opportunities. And if you have the chance, enjoy a little time with your friends and loved ones. And yep, let's watch a little football. We got to watch a little football this past weekend, and man, oh man, what a night for the Penn State football team on Saturday. It was senior night at Beaver Stadium. The Nittany Lions put together their best game of the season and crushed Nebraska, 37-10, your final. K-Trod Allen had 25 carries for 160 yards and two touchdowns. Is it just me, or has he had a lot of rushing yards throughout his career? Let me look this up. I think he's, boy, I swear he's, it just seems like he's had, you know, probably as much as any back that's ever played at Penn State. Wait a second! He does! He's the new record holder! Evan Royster got surpassed by Mr. Allen, as did Saquon Barkley on Saturday night, as K-Tron Allen now has 3,954 career yards. He could become the first ever Penn State back to go over 4,000 yards rushing in a career if he can get at least 46. Yep, I did the math. It took me quite a while on the bus ride home yesterday. That's what I came up with. I think 46 yards gets him to 4,000. I had to carry the number. It was a whole scene. Scrap papers galore, but I'm pretty sure that's about what it is.
Good.
that next game is the final game of the regular season for Penn State at Rutgers. Also Saturday night, Nicholas Singleton, the other running back, tied Saquon Barkley atop the career rushing touchdowns list at Penn State with 43. Penn State will become bowl eligible with a win in that regular season finale at Rutgers. That game will kick off at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Terry Smith, wearing a Joe 409 pin, got his win at Beaver Stadium. And the fans responded. Chants of Terry, Terry, after the game. Players with the Hire Terry signs parading around the field. Things are getting interesting around the football program, and we will see over the coming week or two what transpires. Well, Mr. Giese's bold prediction.
It was bold a week ago.
From last week, hold true, and will Terry Smith be named the permanent head coach of the Nittany Lions this week? Well, we will find out. Elsewhere in the Big Ten, on Saturday, Ohio State shellacked that Rutgers team we were talking about, 42-9. Oregon took down USC, 42-27. Michigan rolled over Maryland, 45-20. Wisconsin topped Illinois, 27-10. And it was Northwestern edging Minnesota, 38-35. Iowa had to rally past Michigan State, 20-17. And late Saturday night, it was Washington handling UCLA, 48-14. Few other games of note from the college football weekend. Oklahoma getting a good win over Missouri, 17-6. It was BYU topping Cincinnati, 26-14. Utah outscored Kansas State, 51-47. And in the ACC, Miami took care of Virginia Tech, 34-17. Pitt upset Georgia Tech, 42-28. And Tennessee also defeated Florida 31-11. The Penn State wrestling team had 15 wrestlers in the finals at the Black Knight Invitational yesterday. 9 won individual titles in West Point, New York. Capturing titles for the Nittany Lions were freshman Nate Desmond at 125, freshman Marcus Blaze at 133, redshirt junior Shane Van Ness at 149, freshman P.J. Duke at 157, redshirt junior Mitchell Messenbrink at 165, senior Levi Haynes at 174, redshirt sophomore Rocco Welsh at 184, redshirt freshman Connor Marisola at 197, and twin brother and fellow redshirt freshman Cole Marisola at heavyweight. Penn State also had 6 runner-up finishes, including Aaron Nagao, who had an injury default in the finals at 141 with what looked to be a significant arm injury. May get an update this week, if not this week, probably next, on Aaron Nagao's status for the season. State high grad Asher Cunningham was 2nd at 184, and freshman Dalton Perry of Central Mountain did not place. He also suffered an apparent leg injury in the tournament yesterday in his 2nd bout. The Nittany Lions will be back in action on Friday, December 5th, with a dual meet at Drexel. Penn State will be looking for its 73rd consecutive dual victory in that meet. Also over the weekend, the Penn State men's hockey team getting a big 2-1 win at Minnesota Saturday night to earn a split in the series with the Golden Gophers. Charlie Serrato and Jackson Smith scored the Penn State goals, and Kevin Radler made 23 saves in goal. Penn State hitting the break with a record of 11-5, 4-4 in the Big Ten. In Friday's game, Penn State gave up up a 2-0 lead, doggone it, and lost 3-2. Reese Laubach had a couple of first-period goals in the loss for Penn State. Nittany Lions will be back in action on January 3rd when they travel to Rochester, New York, to take on RIT. Two teams will meet then at Pagula on January 4th. Elsewhere in the Big Ten over the weekend, Wisconsin took a pair of games from Michigan State, 5-4 on Friday night and then 2-1 in overtime Saturday. Michigan had a pair of wins, easy wins over Ohio State, 5-2 and 8-1. Michigan hoping that is forbearing of what will happen on the gridiron in a game I like to call the game.
The game. Yes.
Coming up on Saturday at high noon. State college football. Doggone it. Great effort, great season, but the Little Lions fall to Central Catholic, 42-21 in the PIAA 6A quarterfinals Friday night in Altoona. Deontay Sheffy had tied the game at 7 with a touchdown run in the first quarter, but then the Vikings scored the next 35 points to put the game away before State High scored a couple of touchdowns late. Sheffy finished the game with 18 carries for 99 yards and 2 touchdowns. Sheffy will play at Syracuse next season. Connor Kolka also connected with Demir Code on a 69-yard touchdown pass. Central Catholic has now won 12 straight, and the Vikings advance to the semifinals Saturday night against Harrisburg back at Altoona's Mansion Park for a 7 o'clock kickoff. Also, LaSalle College will play North Penn in the other 6A semifinal game on Saturday night. Little Lions finish their season with a record of 10-3. And a very good season again for State High. The Penn State men's basketball team suffering a loss for the first time this season. Penn State losing to Providence Saturday 77-65 at the Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. Freddie DeLeon had 22 points off the bench to lead the Nittany Lions, who fall to 5-1 now on the season. Penn State will be right back at it, hosting Boston University in a 7 o'clock tip tomorrow night at the Bryce Jordan Center. Other Big Ten action yesterday, Northwestern getting a 79-77 win over South Carolina. On Saturday, San Francisco knocked off Minnesota 77-65, while Illinois rolled to a 98-58 win over LIU. On Friday night, it was top-ranked Purdue easily beating Texas Tech 86-56. I think the Boilermakers might be pretty good.
They're not bad.
Michigan State looks really good as well. Spartans have, they look very much like a Tom Izzo team in March, but usually his teams look like that in March, not necessarily in November. They may end up being right there with Purdue at the end of the year. They beat Detroit Mercy 84-56. It was BYU knocking off Wisconsin 98-70. UCLA beat Presbyterian 86-46. Northwestern was knocked out by Virginia 83-78. Rutgers lost to Central Connecticut 67-54. And Nebraska, ladies and gentlemen, edging Kansas State 86-85. The Cornhuskers have the nation's longest winning streak at 10 games.
Really?
That is a fact.
Wow.
Lady Lion basketball team also falling Saturday night to Princeton, 100-93 in the Bahamas. Grace Merkel had 39 points and 7 rebounds for Penn State in the loss. Lady Lions are now 4-1. Penn State will play in the third place game in the tournament today at 12 noon against San Diego State. The Penn State women's volleyball team sweeping both Michigan State and Maryland at Rec Hall over the weekend. The sweep of the Spartans on Friday night saw Maggie Mendelson lead the way with 12 kills. Jillian Grimes added 19 digs. On senior day yesterday, Penn State rolling 25-19, 25-15, and 25-14 in the sweep over the Terrapins. Kennedy Martin, 16 kills, led Penn State. The Nittany Lions will play at number one ranked Nebraska Friday night at 6:30, and then we'll wrap up the regular season at Iowa on Sunday. The Nittany Lions should be in good shape now for the NCAA tournament. Penn State is 17-11 on the season, 11-7 in the Big Ten. Certainly you would think with a win over Iowa that should just about guarantee a NCAA tournament bid for Penn State. Even if Iowa upsets Penn State, Nittany Lions are looking to be in very strong contention for an at-large bid. Penn State women's cross-country team earning a 10th place finish, folks, at the NCAA championships. Job well done. Really impressive stuff. Florence Karen led the way with a 14th place finish individually. She becomes a two-time All-American for the Nittany Lions. Her finish is the best for a Penn State individual in 25 years. And led the way for that 10th place finish as a team. That is the program's highest finish since 1994. Again, really impressive stuff by this year's Penn State women's cross-country team. Charlotte Kostich also finished in the top 100, taking 93rd individually. North Carolina State won the team championship. Penn State women's hockey team is now 16-0 on the season. Danica Maynard scored a couple of goals to help lead the Nittany Lions to a 4-3 win at RIT Saturday. Tessa Janicki and Caitlin Roberts also scored in the victory Saturday. On Friday, Penn State topped RIT 5-3. In Friday's game, Maddie Christian and Maya Vaslett each scored shorthanded goals in the victory for Penn State. Penn State men's soccer team looking for a new head coach. Jeff Cook is leaving after 8 seasons at Penn State. Cook's teams posted an overall record of 66 wins, 49 losses, and 23 draws. The Nittany Lions went 5-8-4 this past season. Cook reportedly set to take a leadership role with a major league soccer club. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Chicago Bears 31-28 yesterday, and with the Ravens picking up their 5th straight victory with a 23-10 win over the Jets, the two teams are now tied atop the AFC North. Ugh. That's a capital U, capital G, capital H, and I have 6 exclamation points after the H. On my UGG.
Okay.
UGG, I tell you. Mason Rudolph yesterday, 24 of 31 for 171 yards with a touchdown and an interception. But, dang it. Not happy. Just not happy. There's the Steelers and the Ravens again tied atop the AFC North. Steelers took the lead on a strip sack from T.J. Watt of Caleb Williams, with Nick Herbig recovering the fumble in the end zone. And with that, amazingly, T.J. Watt passes his brother on the career sacks chart. J.J. Watt, half sack behind T.J. now on the all-time sacks list in the National Football League. But it is all for naught. Caleb Williams ended up throwing for 3 touchdowns, and the Bears ended a late Steelers drive near midfield to preserve the victory. Steelers will host the Bills on Sunday at 4:25 before facing the Ravens in the first of their 2 meetings in Baltimore 13 days from now. Could be a pretty important game.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. The Philadelphia Eagles looked to be in control at halftime yesterday. You know, looks can be deceiving. They were leading the Cowboys 21-7, kind of seemingly, again, just in control, doing a good job with the run game, nice mix offensively, defense coming up with the plays when they needed to. But Dallas made a bunch of plays in the second half. Defense, special teams, offense, it was awful. to watch as a Cowboys hater. Brandon Aubrey connected on a 42-yard field goal as time expired to give the Cowboys the 24-21 come-from-behind victory. Former Steelers receiver George Pickens had a huge day for the Cowboys. 9 receptions for 146 yards and a touchdown for Dallas. Saquon Barkley did not have a great day for Philadelphia. He was held to 22 yards rushing on 10 carries and also fumbled for the first time this season. Ugh. Capital U, capital G, capital H, 5 exclamation points. Yeah. All right. The Kansas City Chiefs got a critical win over the Colts in overtime, 23-20. Then last night, the Rams, they looked good, crushing the Buccaneers, 34-7. The Detroit Lions survived a scare from the New York Giants and somehow pulled out a 34-27 overtime win. The Jaguars got by the Cardinals in overtime, 27-24. The Packers rolled over the Vikings, 23-6. It was the Seahawks holding off the Titans, 30-24. The Patriots over the Bengals, 26-20. Shedeur Sanders led the Browns to victory in his first career start. Cleveland downing the Las Vegas Raiders, 24-10. Yeah, they're still counting it as an NFL win. Falcons defeated the Saints, 24-10. Tonight, the Panthers will visit the 49ers, and we will have that game for you right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, with coverage starting at 7:30. The Pittsburgh Penguins had a tough weekend. Capital U, capital G, capital. The Wild blasted the Penguins 5-0 Friday night, and then the Penguins lost in overtime to the Kraken Saturday night 3-2. Sidney Crosby had a goal and an assist in the loss Saturday. Brandon Montour scored the game winner for Seattle. The Penguins are now 5th in the Metropolitan Division and will host the Buffalo Sabres on Wednesday night. Need the W here. Let's get this thing turned around. Dear Penguins, make your coach happy again, would you? The Flyers doubled up on the Devils Saturday night, 6-3, and have moved into fourth place, just ahead of the Penguins in the Metropolitan Division. Tyson Forster had 2 goals. Noah Cates added a goal and 2 assists in the win on Saturday. The Flyers will visit the Lightning tonight with faceoff in Tampa set for 7 o'clock. The 76ers lost to the Miami Heat, 127-117 yesterday. Tyrese Maxey with 27 points to lead Philadelphia. The Sixers are now 9-7 and currently in 8th place in the Eastern Division. And we can get to some other news and notes as the morning progresses, but that's the overall sports scene. We learned some details on James Franklin's contract over the weekend. Another one of the decommits from Penn State has signed on with another national power. We may get in a little more discussion with Terry Smith. People are adamant on both sides, like, yes, you have to hire him. No, you absolutely can't hire. We'll maybe kick that around a little bit more here this morning and lots of other stuff. And we will continue. It is a Monday morning edition of Let's Talk. I just checked the schedule. It does look like tomorrow we're going to do our Tuesday morning edition. So
yes,
make that adjustment to your calendar if you need to.
No.
And I think we're going to go ahead and do the Wednesday show in 2 days from now.
We'll do it on Wednesday.
So just keep apprised of the busy show schedule as we keep things updated. Right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports.
Bigger and better than ever, it's the 2026 Happy Valley Comic Convention, February 28th and March 1st at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with special guest Tricia Helfer, the gorgeous Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, and Tracy Coco from Star Trek, along with actors from Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and other Japanese series. Collectibles, discussions, artist costume contest, and much more. Get your tickets starting now at $8 at HappyValleyComicCon.com. Kids 10 and under free on Sunday. HappyValleyComicCon.com. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate happy hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coolest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Belfond Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
It's Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and yep, that there phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266 if you want to weigh in on absolutely anything. What are you grateful for as we get ready for Thanksgiving on Thursday? What do you think about Terry Smith as a head coach permanently for the Nittany Lions? If not Terry, who is it that you want to see named as the successor to James Franklin? Were you at the game Saturday night? What were your takeaways if you were there? Not a full stadium. I think we could pretty clearly see that on the television. Again, I was up with the wrestling team in West Point, so was watching it on the tube and took note of the fans, and those that were there seemed to be pretty enthusiastic, very much into the game. I think enjoyed the night of football. It felt like Penn State football again Saturday night. Hasn't felt like that in a while. Not since the fourth quarter of the whiteout game. But man, it felt like it Saturday night. And we can go other directions. This case that we talked about a little bit last week, and I think we're getting more information today. I believe I saw that the district attorney's office will have another press conference today with this child pornography, child abuse case that apparently, and I'm not sure how wide of a scope this thing was. I'm not sure if authorities quite have a handle on it just yet. They are continuing to investigate, but a couple of more folks were taken into custody last week. And again, the house was owned here for decades. And it's not clear just yet whether, like, how far back the abuse here was going. But my God, it is, the more you're reading and hearing about it, the more sick to your stomach, and at least for me, I mean, viscerally angry you get. In the one case, again, according to authorities, all allegations right now, I get it, but allegations backed up with a ton of evidence. It sounds like, at least in the one case, a confession here as well. I mean, this is sounding like not something that is just allegations, but legally, allegations right now. But one of the allegations is that a mom gave the victim to the perpetrators here of the crime, like purposefully, knowing what was going on, said, here, take my, and it seems a little unclear whether the daughter was 12, 13, or 14, but in that age range, and like just gave her away, and then the young victim gave birth, and that child was, she was offered, according to the allegations, $48,000 to give up that kid. I mean, this is, the more we're learning, again, the more sick, disgusting, god-awful this story is getting. And again, I think we're getting more details later today, more updates. They are asking anybody with any information, including if you were a victim, to please come forward. They are wanting to get as clear of a picture here of what happened and the extent and the length of the horrific crimes that were committed here. But that investigation is continuing. If you want to weigh in on that, I get lots going on the local front, national front, politically. Looking forward to seeing any of these movies? we're excited about seeing Zootopia, the new Zootopia, and we are looking forward to checking out the final installment, right, of Wicked, and that seems to be getting pretty good reviews and doing pretty well at the box office as well. If you want to weigh in on absolutely anything this morning, we'd love to hear from you. 814-954-7266.
I cleaned out my garage on Saturday.
Yeah, you got that going for you. Pretty nice.
After my wife's like, clean the garage. I'm like, yeah, okay, I know. Yeah. I got to clean the garage.
Yeah, I'm working on my office.
And I didn't get finished, by the way.
It's a project, dude.
Anyway. Yeah, there's, oh boy. There's, I mean, first off, this crime case. Again, let's get some more details on this. Because what we've heard so far, we probably all have the reaction, are you kidding? What? You know, that kind of reaction. Huh? Yeah, right here. This isn't in some far off place. It's right in our backyard. Now, let's get some more details. I mean, the part of this that, now, you mentioned this allegation about a mom.
Yeah.
You know, kids were apparently getting paid and they just left. So it was like a, you know, business transaction, except what was the business transaction? Did they have no real, not the bad guys. We'll use the term bad guys, not the bad guys. Did they have any realization what was going on here? Maybe the kids didn't. They just thought, okay, you want me to do what? All right, that's fine. Here's my money. Okay, thanks, bye. That's the part of this that. Anyway, let's take a call here.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, believe it or not, I haven't followed that story, but I love the idea of cleaning the garage and going into the house and helping out. I clean my garage with a leaf blower, and then when I bring the leaf blower into my house, my wife says, no, wait a minute.
Actually, I used my leaf blower on Saturday.
In the house.
Because, you know, dirt on the floor. Dirt on the floor, and the leaves are falling, and, you know, when a car pulls into the garage, brings stuff in with it, right? So, yeah, I used the leaf blower. It worked out really well.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it here this afternoon. I got these varmints called squirrels, and they drag all their acorns and walnuts into my garage.
Yes.
I just can't keep up with them.
Yes.
Hey, this story of last week, I really don't want to know about the details because it's all too familiar. I recall, I think it was back in the 90s, I had this thing called dial-up internet connection. It was cool. I actually used it in the 80s and used to time your computer to send mail so it didn't compete with the phone line at night. And then in the 90s, a few of us started to use a thing called email. And at some point, I got bombarded with fake emails and links to pornography. And it was a real crapshoot, you know, looking at your mail in the morning. And then at the end of the 90s, I noticed on my cable television, I used to call it Scramble Vision. And there was these elements of pornography coming across of my cable. And then somewhere, I remember some Snoop Dogg or somebody famous coming to campus, and they were hiring young people to participate in film pornography. And so what I'm getting at is, okay, let me go back to the church. Like, if you lose your ability to think clearly because you drank too much, the church actually considers that equivalent to murder. Because you're not in control. You're just running around loose. And what I'm getting at is they also consider viewing, enjoying pornography. You're actually participating in that crime. So I really don't care to know about the details because I already know. As a society, we call it liberation. You know, this Supreme Court decision way back when decided that pornography was a form of freedom of speech. I totally disagree with that. It has consequences, and I think we're seeing it.
You know, you could be right. I mean, we've become so desensitized to some of this stuff. It's like, oh, no big deal. Well, for some of us, it is still a big deal. The question
Absolutely.
Is, how many of us is it still a big deal?
Right. I remember my father's generation. They were being compromised, and at least they had, are we off? No. They had the best they could do was keep the pornography in the floodplain, along the river, down at the tracks. But now it's on every kid's phone, and remember, every mom said, my kid has to have a phone in case of an emergency. Well, guess what? That phone is taking the railroad tracks to your kid all day long. So, I don't know. I think Americans need to wake up, you know. We've worshipped this thing called money for way too long, and we've decided there's nothing greater than money, and here we are.
All right.
I appreciate the call. Phone call and the perspective. Yeah, I lot to chew on there.
I mean, we're at a point now where if you don't get the real thing, well, heck, we have computer programs now that can make it up for you. Talk about porn. All right, we can, you know, we can put somebody's face on somebody else's body, and it's like body is it's shaming and all that. We got a problem. Well, do we have a problem? I don't know, for some folks, they probably, no big deal. I mean, that's the part of this case that just, it's not like people were being held and slaves, and it's like, okay, come on in, all right, do this, all right, here's some money, bye. let's wait until we get some more information. Folks, this is the type of story that could go national. just what we need. But still, somebody like, holy moly, this we've scratched the surface maybe on this one. And then when you had the mom version from that story, I'm like, are you kidding? That's what we're all saying, right? Are you kidding? No, we're not kidding. Tell you what, let's take a break right here so we stay on schedule. Open line time. We do have Joe later this hour. We got Joe.
Please,
we got Joe? Okay. Because I'm starting to see some more stories from weather outlets. Watch out between Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm starting to see some more stories like Joe told us that like 2 weeks ago. All right, so maybe we'll get more from him. Watch out for the weather between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Could be interesting. And, yeah, that football stuff. Yeah, that was an interesting scene Saturday night. So we'll maybe chat on that as well. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Harlan here for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. And, yep, the phone line is available for your use at 814-954-7266.
All right, how about some good news?
Yeah, we love
all right,
good news.
If you missed this, all right, if you're a Penn State season ticket holder for football, the announcement apparently made, I guess, over the weekend, prices for next year will be the same. No increase. When's the last time that happened? Think about that. When's the last time that happened? So if you're a season ticket holder, you don't have to shell out even more money next year. Yay! Now if we could just bring the price of a parking space down. But anyway, 37 to 10, no surprise. I don't know.
No surprise.
No surprise.
None.
We're now seeing the Penn State team we were expecting to see like a month and a half or whatever ago. All right, we're seeing it. So the final result, I mean, Nebraska came in, they were 7-3. Good season, not great, but good. And they weren't even in this game, which does, again, doesn't surprise me at all. This is a good team that somehow went off the rails a few weeks ago. And there's the big mystery. Why did this team go off the rails against, well, UCLA and Northwestern, those two in particular? What on earth happened in those two games? Well, people will be writing stories about that. It was interesting to see all of the lobbying on Saturday. I mean, Michael Robinson, the former Nittany Lion quarterback, works for NBC. And so he, you know, he does commentary, whatever, or makes remarks on these games. And there he is. And Michael decided, you know what, I'm just going to come right out and say it. He did. Terry Smith should be the new head coach. He just came out and just directly, boom, this is what should happen. And, yeah, the crowd, Terry, Terry, all that. And then at the end of the game, you know, the players are celebrating on the field, and these guys are flying around with little signs, hire Terry Smith. And I'm thinking, okay, who printed those signs and then distributed them, not to every player, but enough that they made the NBC broadcast? They were very plain, boom, and the players are pointing at the signs, and they're gawking for the camera and all this sort of thing. Okay, gee, guys, how do you really feel? And apparently, sometime this week, Coach Smith will get an interview with Athletic Director Pat Kraft, which apparently before Saturday night, they really hadn't talked about it. They hadn't had an interview, none of that stuff. Well, apparently now, by popular demand, they're going to have an interview. Now, I don't know when. Do you know when? I didn't see anything about a when. Today would be a good day. You know, it's kind of wide open day. You know, today's a good day. Sun's out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I made the bold prediction last week. Now, back then it was bold. Now, all of a sudden, a lot of people are jumping on the bandwagon. Okay. Not the NBC talking heads. So if you watch the game on TV Saturday night, which I did, they got these panel of four talking heads. And pretty much, I mean, Chris Sims, I like Chris Sims. He's great. What's the gal's name? Nicole Auerbach. She's been kind of adamant, no, Penn State's bringing an outside guy. And Chris Sims why would you fire your coach only to hire his assistant? I heard that on several occasions over the weekend. Well, because people really want him. And he seems to have turned the team around. And, all right, now this will make somebody angry. I don't know why. But, of course, Terry Smith, he's there. He's, you know, kind of chilly on Saturday night. He's wearing his coat. He's got the big button right there that says Joe 409. I think there is a real, how do I phrase this? There is a real yearning to sort of get back to the Paterno era. Now, I've mentioned this here before a bunch of times. All right, Joe Paterno, one of the greatest in the history of the entire game. Whatever happened 13 years ago, well, 14 years ago now, all right, and Joe got dragged into it. We all now know he had nothing to do with anything that allegedly happened. We know this. Lock, stock, knock it down. And yet it's been, say, 13 years, and fans are still waiting for Penn State to start to recognize the greatness of Joe Paterno. We're still waiting. Why? And so Terry wears this big button on his lapel or his coat or whatever, Joe 409. I think he's kind of subtly trying to say, hey, university, hey, Old Main, hey, athletic department, would you stop ignoring one of the greatest guys in the history of this university and let's start recognizing him again? Maybe not necessarily bring out the statue, you know, all that sort of thing, but it's time. And so Terry is that tie back to Joe Paterno. And I think a ton of fans are like, yes, we want to get back to that. We want to get back to that. And I say subtle. I mean, he did mention that, you know, whenever he's talked about Joe, he's had nothing but glowing things to say, of course. I just think a lot of fans are like, enough of this. Can we get back to when we were stable, winning, respectable? Let's see. Those two guys, I don't know who these two guys are. The two guys that they go to games and they dress up with these goofy heads that looks like they're missing half their teeth.
The Big Uglies.
Yeah, yes. The Big Uglies. Okay. Do you know who they are?
Yeah.
You know who they are.
Yes.
Okay. It's the same guys, right? Over and over. It's not like they change uniforms or something. And they had a big sign that mentioned Coach Terry Smith, and it mentioned success with honor, which was sort of one of the monikers of the Paterno era. I think there are a lot of folks, they want to say, we want to get back to that. Not necessarily go bring in another outside guy when we've got a guy right here that we think is a good coach and a stand-up guy. All the players, clearly, I mean, it's obvious. The players are like, we want Coach Smith to stay. We want Coach Smith to be the guy. You had to be blind not to see that Saturday night. So the chance and so on. Remember, last month, the chants were fire, 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 and they did. Saturday night, the chants were Terry, Terry, Terry. Okay. I just, you know, folks, I'm not an athletic director, and I don't play one on the radio. But if Pat Kraft would actually continue to go outside, bring in some outside guy, I just wonder if there would be half a rebellion be with the players, with the fans. Nothing against whoever the guy is. All right, it could be anybody. It could be, we've heard a million names. Could be any of those guys. I just think if Kraft goes against the players and goes against the fans and gets an outside guy, there could be a rebellion here. Now, Mr. Ironhead, am I making too much of this? I mean, it's just Pat Kraft, if he actually like, no, I'm going to pick who I want, and he goes and gets the dude from Missouri, or he gets the guy from James Madison, or he gets, you know, somebody else, that there would just be a rebellion if he actually did that. Am I overplaying this?
Well, yes,
okay,
for
right.
sure.
Right.
I mean, what could be? Okay, I mean, yeah, the meteor could hit the stadium and we'll never have football again.
No, that's
supposed to hit the radio station. What could be is a lot of things. I do think, so this is, I really have been fascinated just to see the number of people from all kinds of different perspectives and backgrounds that are weighing in on what they think should happen with Penn State football. One of the more amusing things to me, there was a theme, at least among some, that you got rid of James Franklin because you need to win against top 10 teams, top 5 programs. And so pretty much every name that gets brought up is, well, Eli Drinkwitz isn't – you're not firing James Franklin to bring in Eli Drinkwitz. He's not winning those games. Now we just had Brent Key. You lost to Pitt. We're not bringing in a guy that lost to Pitt with a better team.
That was a bad loss.
It's, well, Jeff Brohm, well, here's the problem, kids, is there's like 3 coaches – maybe 2 that have really good records against top 5 teams. And Kirby Smart isn't leaving Georgia, and Ryan Day isn't leaving Ohio State for Penn State. Now, they might both leave their programs at some point, but it'll be to go to the National Football League. They're not leaving Georgia and Ohio State to come to Penn State. I don't mean to burst anybody's bubble. And pretty much any other coach you can name that is a reasonable get, guess what they have? Oh, no, losses to top 5 teams! No, that's not what... Well, or they haven't even played. They haven't been a head coach. They're not... Well, okay. Like, so what is actually they're trying to do is see if at Penn State, with the resources available now here and with everybody aligned, to use James Franklin's terminology, could one of those coaches get Penn State to a point where it is maybe 500 against top 10 teams? No, we need to win every game, every day. Okay.
No.
All right, it doesn't happen that way, kids. So here is the thing. I'm also fascinated with the Terry Smith discussion because, again, this is being looked at from a bunch of different viewpoints, and they're not unreasonable viewpoints. Here is the one thing to me, and we all have our own perspectives, biases, and all of that. Say what you want about James Franklin, and I defended James Franklin on a lot of different fronts for a lot of different years. There is no question, and to a large degree, I think, I at least kind of understand it, but to a large degree, James Franklin was like, hey, Joe Paterno, irrelevant. What we're doing now is what we're doing now. And I don't think he was trying to be disrespectful. I think he just didn't want to acknowledge the past. He was very much a, we're going to live in the present, want to know, we're focused on just this week. Doesn't matter what happened last week, let alone last year, let alone decades ago. And to some degree, I can understand that. Like, what good is it going to do James Franklin to sit there and share his reverence of Joe Paterno week in and week out and make people consistently, hey, yeah, let's compare, well, good or bad. Like, it's just not productive. That being said, if you do not think that there has been a rift, a significant rift within the Penn State community over the last decade and a half, then you haven't been paying attention. And one of the things that has frustrated many in the pro Paterno camp, and I would count myself in the pro Paterno camp, is the lack of recognition and appreciation for what Joe Paterno did, not just for the football program, but for the university and what he meant to the football program and the university. And I don't think you necessarily have to have a Paterno disciple to be the person that bridges that gap, but I do think a Paterno disciple who is successful, and that is going to be the key component here no matter who comes in, it is this thing has to look good moving forward. Penn State football has to be successful. That is first and foremost, right? It doesn't matter if you have somebody that, yeah, I'm going to bring the whole community together and we're going to go out and watch a 7-5 product year after year. But we're all together, we're in this, and we recognize Joe Paterno was great. Well, no, that's not going to cut it. Okay, so we acknowledge that. What I do, so I do think Terry Smith is uniquely positioned to bring everybody together. Even those that right now have severe reservations. No, you can't. You don't fire the head coach to bring on the assistant. Well, what if the assistant has a whole different vision? What if the assistant will rearrange things substantially? And I don't know for sure that that would happen, but neither do any of you. And I think that's why the interview process is important. And I do think Terry Smith and Pat Kraft need to sit down and have that face-to-face, and Pat needs to listen to what Terry's vision for the program is. That game Saturday night is one game. I get it. I'm reading the comments. Well, Terry Smith, you know, we got rid of James Franklin because he wasn't winning the big games. Well, Terry Smith, his Nittany Lions got blown out by Ohio State. They weren't even competitive. And they still lost to an inferior, talent-wise, Indiana team. So we're going to be the same old, maybe even a little worse. Well, in that situation, kids, you're not being fair, and you're not looking at the big picture stuff. Terry Smith was not taking over a well-oiled machine. He came in when this program was at its lowest point here, I would argue even lower than it was during the pandemic and the brutal 0-5 start there, because the expectations were different and there wasn't the excuse of the pandemic and all of the things. And I think those performances against UCLA and Northwestern were devastating to the morale of the fan base, to the morale of the locker room, it was just a toxic situation any and every way you looked at it. And yes, I would argue anybody coming into that situation, whoever you think is the greatest coach in the history of football, if you think it was Nick Saban or Bill Belichick or Joe Paterno, whoever it was, and you handed it to them at that point coming off the Northwestern game and said, here you go. All right, go make these guys winners. You better beat Ohio State and Indiana. It wasn't happening, kids. Like, you're not being real here about what the situation was. And so what Terry Smith has clearly done is gained the respect of that locker room, turned this thing around, and to me, Saturday night wasn't as much about the win, although that was sweet. It was that looked like Penn State football, like the way Penn State thought, Penn State fans thought, and I think that team thought it was going to look all season long. I don't know the ins and outs of what went wrong and why Penn State looked the way it did at UCLA and at home against Northwestern, but that team Saturday night looked like a team that gave a damn. That looked like an inspired football team. It didn't matter that Penn State was 4-6. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered but that game and that moment. And they went out. You watch the offensive line and the way it blocked. You watch Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton and the way they were finishing off runs. The tight ends were blocking to the whistle. Time and time and time again. Nebraska gets to the goal line, near the goal line. Man, we just got to get the first down here. We're going to be able to set up first and goal and get in. No! Penn State blasted them. They controlled the line of scrimmage. I get it. Nebraska's not Ohio State when it comes to the offense and defensive line. I get it. I'm not sitting here telling you that this Penn State team now, I heard some folks talking, it's like, man, this team could beat anybody now. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's not. It doesn't matter. They did what they needed to do, and they looked and played like a team that cared, that wanted to do things the right way, and that truly was buying in to what Terry Smith was preaching, and presumably the other coaches now on staff. That thing looked good, like really good. And so, to me, there's, again, a lot of things that you still have to sort out, and none of us, outside looking in, know the answer. I want to know. Terry Smith can inspire young men. He can hold them accountable. I think he can make the tough decisions. All of those things. The question for me is more about the all of the other things that encompass being a head coach. I think Terry has the itch now. I think it is clear. I mean, he is making it known. Yep, I want this gig.
Yeah.
I feel like I am ready to handle this gig. Now, I think Pat Kraft has to listen carefully. All right, well, where are you going to bring in coaches? Are we keeping everybody on staff? Do we actually think this staff if left to its own devices, can be. And again, I don't know the answers. I know fans do. Oh, no, I know they got to get rid of Kotelnicki.
Okay, hold on.
Fantastic. Let's find out after Pat Kraft and Terry Smith have a heart-to-heart. Hey, maybe he actually does have big-time plans, big-time visions. Yep, this is how we need to do it. This is what we need, facilities-wise, everything else. And if his plan is as good or better than the others out there, and I would just say as good, then to me, yeah, the trump card is, well, you already have this locker room. You already know the history of the program. You've already established that you can take a team that was in dire straits and get it headed in the right direction. So to me, all things being equal, and I don't know that all things are equal, and none of us do, but if all things are equal, then yeah, my God. Hire Terry Smith and let's move this thing forward. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, double dip, and thank you. That was very well said. I want to hearken back to my first days as a PhD candidate, and I was reminded by my advisor that creativity is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. And I actually think this interview between the director Kraft and the coach, they have to recognize there has to be a tension between them. One represents perhaps, you know, the financial well-being of the institution, and the other one is he's from the ground. He's going to be leading from years and years of perspiration and hard work, being in the trenches with the athletes, being closer to the fans, whereas our admiral, he's got to, you know, keep his finger in the wind of the financial problems. But there's a tension that's called balance. When you have equal tension from left and right, up and down, you find a balance and you can stand upright. So I would hope that it's not just an interview of the coach. It's really an interview of the whole Penn State culture, refining a balance. And I don't know if I'm making any sense. But, I love Penn State, and so many of us do, because we have found that over the decades we've found this context of this little valley. And the place that I think it was Dr. Sparks who said, we're equal distance from nowhere and everywhere. So I don't know. We all come to love the Happy Valley when we get here, but we do live in a sea of global finance and turmoil. So, you know, we got to make a way in this world, but we love the fact that we build it from the ground up. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'll leave you with that.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate the phone call and the perspective. Yeah, the one thing I'll add to that. So another thing that has frustrated the pro Paterno crowd is it, and I don't know, you can talk to different people, and I have, and get different answers. I think most agree, if not everybody agrees, that there are some folks. Now, how many and how much money we're talking about, that's where the debate rages. But there are certainly some folks that are not giving to Penn State and have not given to Penn State since everything went haywire at the end of the Paterno era. And they are not doing so because they are not happy that Penn State has refused to publicly acknowledge and honor the impact that the Paternos, the family, has made to the Penn State community, and obviously in particular Joe. But so even while I understand what you were saying in terms of the Pat Kraft is looking at the business side of this, and he has to as the athletic director, and Terry Smith is looking at this from the football perspective and the history that he knows Penn State football provides, I actually think those two can merge beautifully. And if the interview goes well and Terry Smith has the clear vision, and yes, I do have the right connection so that if a coach leaves, I can go. I mean, that was one thing James Franklin seemed always ready for, is when he had to make a move with the coaching staff or when somebody left. Man, he was on the Rolodex, and I'll just call up my buddy here, and I'll call my other buddy there, and one of them, splash hire after splash hire. Some worked out, some didn't. Yeah, welcome to life. That's the way it goes. And I'm not saying Terry Smith or anybody coming in, well, man, every coach they hire is going to be a home run and just the best in the biz. Nah, sometimes, and again, for a wide variety of reasons, this coach just isn't working out here. Might still be a great coach, might have wonderful innovative ideas, it's just not working here. Well, that's fine. And then you move on and you keep, working at it until you get the right combination. And so, the question is, and one of the concerns with Terry Smith is, does he have those connections nationally? And I'm seeing people say definitively, no, he doesn't. Well, you don't know that. I don't. Do you have his phone records? Do you know all of the coaches that he's in communication with? And because I don't think you do, and I don't either. And you may be right. I mean, I'm not saying definitively because, again, I don't know. But I think let's find out from him. Hey, yes, I will. I do have these connections, and man, I'm going to start working the phones and lean on some other friends to introduce. He has to have a plan above and beyond, I love Penn State, and I own the locker room. I get that. I agree with it. I understand it. Just saying, it may be very possible that he has that. But the other part of this, the financial part, Penn State and any other big-time program, you better get the resources coming in on a regular basis. You got to pay the players. You got to have the top flight facilities. You got to pay the coaches. All of the things that we talk about. I would argue that a Terry Smith hire, I don't think the big money people that don't have any connection to Paterno, and there's a lot of those now around the program, you're going to tell me that they're going to back out? I'm pulling your funding because you're giving it to this guy that turned this season around. I'll show you. Well, why the hell would you do that? So I don't think that's happening. And especially if Terry Smith lays out and Pat Kraft lays out, hey, yeah, this is the right guy because this, this, and this. I think you keep at least 95% of the current investors. And my guess is, there's going to be a substantial number of people, and again, I don't have the exact numbers, but I think there are a lot of people with good money that are just waiting. Oh, wait, Penn State's getting back to being Penn State? The Penn State I remember when I got into the business world in the 70s, 80s, or 90s? Well, let me help you guys out. I think you will see a substantial increase. Well, how much? What percentage, Ironet? I don't know. I don't have that. Maybe Pat Kraft does, maybe he doesn't. But I think that is the other advantage of Terry Smith, is I think you get more people, I'm talking on the financial front, more people on board saying, yep, man, if we're going to get back to the true success with honor and the grand experiment, to whatever degree you can do that in today's world, yes. I remember that. That's part of why I've gone out and had the success. Yes, I want to be part of that program. Here's whatever the checks are. I think you will see a substantial increase. And I think there are a lot of people who, while supporting Penn State, have been like, this just doesn't feel like the Penn State I know. Well, with Terry Smith, it's going to feel like the Penn State you knew. But with Pat Kraft and all of the other innovations, it's also going to feel like, yeah, it's the Penn State we knew, updated, and ready to roar in this new era. To me, the potential is there for a wonderful merger, and getting back to everybody feeling like, hey, yeah, I'm part of the Penn State family now. Whether you're a newcomer and, man, I'm just into the big money, I just want a winning product, or you're part of the old school, yeah, we want to do things the right way. We believe in toughness, the old Pennsylvania tough mentality. I think the potential there for that wonderful merger is available.
They need the money.
They need the money.
And so do we. We've got to take a break.
Well, yeah, there is that.
All right, don't go anywhere. Let's talk here on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Hi, listen, if you're considering an assisted living facility for yourself or a loved one, it's important that you choose a highly rated facility. And Celebrationville of Nittany Valley is one of those facilities. U.S. News and World Report 2025 ranked Celebrationville of Nittany Valley as the best assisted living facility. Now that's a great accolade. Celebrationville of Nittany Valley specializes in enhanced personal and memory care. Located in State College, from the moment you arrive, you'll find your or your family members' needs are met with the utmost attention and mindfulness. Nestled in a quiet, modern setting, Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley offers a warm and friendly community that's close enough to town to keep you or your family member connected, yet far enough away to provide that peaceful country feeling. For details, go to CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. That's one word, CelebrationVillaOfNittanyValley.com. Or call one of our friendly staff members for leasing and sales. Call 814-235-7675. Celebration Villa of Nittany Valley.
Join Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox as we kick off our week of giving on Friday, November 21st at the Bellefonte Giant Grocery Store on the Benner Pike. We will be collecting non-perishable food items and monetary donations that day for the Faith Center. Just another great way to help your neighbor. During November, The Fox will be asking you to stop in and sign up for our annual Remington 700 rifle giveaway from Jordan Firearms during our week of giving with Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Be a part of the best event of the winter, Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center. 100,000 square feet of fun with sci-fi and fantasy fans from across the region. If you're a vendor of anything looking to reach this energized audience, open space is currently available. Go to happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab for information. Reserve your space today and get ready for a weekend of action and profit. happyvalleycomiccon.com. Click on the Vendors tab. Happy Valley Comic Con, February 28 and March 1 at Nittany Valley Sports Center.
Let's talk here on a Monday morning, final segment of the big show. And so we are joined by none other than Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Good morning, El Jefe and the great Scott. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing just fine.
Great
thank
Scott.
You.
Okay. Wow.
Now you do remember Monday. When I said to you, I thought there'd be some snow on the ground Wednesday.
Yeah,
right?
You were lying, darn it.
Now I got to tell you something. This was hysterical to me because, I was up working in the middle of the night. That was just, that was a what we call a thump snow where you get it all in a couple of hours. And it actually, what happened was you had this little mesocyclone come southeast over us, and the cooling that was taking place with it changed it over to snow. And it was wild because if you looked at the radar, there were about 2 or 3 hours on the radar where it looked like there was an eye feature to it, and it had the circular, the spiral on it, and the whole bit. And I was putting pictures of it up on the internet. But I want to show you the folly of the AI. okay? Because a lot of folks don't understand what's going on today. You might be hearing a forecaster. He might be your favorite forecaster, but might not be him. It may simply be the AI cloning his voice and then simply regurgitating the computer forecast. And what's going on in the radio industry today is whether it's becoming less and less valuable. You know, there aren't real forecasters on the air a lot of times. And, you know, the person on the air might just look at the app that gives them the forecast and doesn't put any time into it. And, of course, the AI, I'm always fighting with the AI. It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's unbelievable how little the AI knows about the weather. Like, for instance, I'll say, give me the most extreme weather event on this date since 1900. And it'll give me something. I'll go, that didn't happen. What are you looking at? And it'll gradually say, oh, I wasn't reading this right or that right. So what happens is, and it was very interesting here out in Bowlesburg. I was watching this backup on 322 because I'm up working at 3:30 in the morning, and I can see it. You know, 322 is a half mile south of my house, and you know, everybody got caught off guard. I'm sure everybody was caught off guard Wednesday morning, and it kind of does my heart good to see that still happening in 2025. That you can go to bed with no idea that it's going to snow because of what the forecasts say. I mean, I was looking at the Weather Service forecast online. Like, I guess, okay, I got 2 inches of snow. It's snowing these giant bombs. Forecast says rain and snow, less than 1/2 inch possible. Okay, so the forecast is less than 1/2 inch is possible. That means to get 2 inches of snow or anything over an inch, that means that there is a 0 in 100 chance that that would happen. So what basically the forecasts that were out at the time we got thumped had zero. There was the skill score would have been zero. You would have gotten a zero on that. But I love that stuff. I see State College has an interesting way where we get things like that. Like there's certain ways where we actually will pick up the most snow relative to everyone around us, and that was a fascinating situation. Going forward, we got a lot of cold coming. It's going to be a cold December, colder and snowier than normal. We're not backing down, and we've been saying Thanksgiving to Christmas. Actually, I think it's Thanksgiving to New Year's and into January now. It's going to average below normal, and the first shot really comes in Thanksgiving Day. You'll find temperatures stay in the 30s with strong winds, and we'll probably get snow squalls late Thanksgiving night into Friday. And that probably puts a half inch to an inch down in places. The usual snow squall suspects. But Friday's not going to be a nice day. And Saturday, both of those days are going to be around 30 for highs. And the so-called real field wind chills, whatever we call it nowadays, will be down in the teens. So we're ushering in that period, and we've been outlining it for you. And it's so much fun now, you know, and when I create a forecast, I know where what we call analogs, where I say I know where the analog bodies are buried. In other words, because of, you know, looking back at the past, what I'll do is I'll feed into Grok. I'll say, okay, what I want you to look at this, 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 and this, and incorporate that into what the computer model is saying. What's your answer, right? But the key is knowing what to look at to the analogs so that you can feed it the information to compare with the computer forecast. And so where I think the AI is really, really valuable to me, and I treat it as an associate forecaster. I say, look, I want your opinion on this. I want your opinion on that. And it's fascinating. it's so funny because our COO, Tom Downs, is just an outstanding forecaster, a Cornell guy. I've never met a forecaster out of Cornell that wasn't a great weather forecaster. He was saying, oh, Joe, keep looking at 2000, 2001. That was a very cold December. And sure enough, I'm watching the AI getting stronger and stronger toward that analog, among the other analogs that we were looking at from the earlier part of the season. So it's actually a great time to be a meteorologist if you dig in and just don't – you can't just let the AI give you the answer. What you have to do is say, I want your opinion on that. I literally write it down. What's your opinion on this compared to this? But you've got to know what to compare it with from the past. You can't just say, well, this or that happened or whatever. And it's really a fascinating way of doing things. So, yeah, I don't know what other folks are doing, but you can't just get it and let it regurgitate stuff, because it'll do what it did the other night quite often. And I personally think it's a setback for the industry to be taking voices and cloning them and then pretending that's the actual person on the air. I don't like that at all. I could never do that. I could never, because my voice might be on the air at 2 o'clock in the morning saying some rain and snow mix, and if it's snowing, atomic bombs coming out. You should have seen the size of these flakes. I don't know how many you're up at that hour of the day. I'm always up at that hour of the day working. I mean, I would be like, are you kidding me? Look at that. That was so cool, because when I got up, I was, you know, looked out at the window, and I couldn't see the golf course in the back of my house. I go, oh, this is good. Does that mean that would be snowing hard?
Ironhead, is our boss listening? Do you know if he's listening?
No, Joe.
This is good. This is good. Okay, you know about the cloning voice. I think that happens a lot more in this business anymore than what we'd like to believe.
Oh, you don't know the half of it. One of my best friends, I bust out of every time I see him in church. I go, are you the real guy or are you the AI? Which one are you?
Yeah.
We're the real guys. All right, there we go.
And I'll tell you what, there's nothing AI about Penn State wrestling or Penn State football. And I obviously have no say in this, but it seems to me like an interesting idea would be to get Terry to be the head coach. Don't pay him what you'd pay, you know, if some big shot came in here or something like that. But load it up with incentives, and if he wins the national title, he automatically gets a 3-year contract for the highest paid coach in the country. You see what I'm saying? You do something like, no, here's what you do, right? Because if you load it up with incentives, and, you know, I've just been watching the guy in action. It seems like the natural bridge between, you know, the foundations, the old school foundations, and what we have to do today, which is interesting, you know, because it is a different world, and yet that kind of old school stuff, and plus the culture is huge. The culture is huge that you go, I'm playing for this school, you know, and there's nothing wrong with guys loving their coach, of course, and I'm not knocking Coach Franklin, because I personally really like the guy, you know, but it's just interesting going forward what Pat Kraft is facing. It's not an easy decision here going forward. So I really do think that the edge is with the culture. It's like the Oklahoma State women's gymnastics team. I still follow women's gymnastics, and their culture is extremely interesting to me in that they love their school, but they seem to get better in the offseason. I'm not knocking our gymnastics program, but they have a different culture over there. They're not just, oh, we're going to college to have a good time, or you know, they would rather win than do other things. And I think you see that with the Penn State wrestling team, because people go, well, what's the edge? What's the big edge that you can get? And you know, everybody's good. Yeah, I get a kick out of people going, oh, we work so hard. You don't think everybody else works hard? if you're a college athlete today, you're going to work hard. The football players are going to work hard. Wrestlers are going to work hard. But there's something, some intangible that I think carries on with the teams that wind up being the best. And
I think some higher
yeah. calling.
Yeah.
Whatever that higher calling is. With Bill Cole, when I was here, it was always that wrestling was a way to become patriotic for your country. He used to always talk about that, right? And, you saw women's volleyball last year. I think they really rallied around, the adversity that their coach was going through and things like that. And that's a hard intangible, but I get the sense, you could do a lot of things with talent and rage, being angry and, I got chip up, but you do a lot more with talent and gratitude. That's where you go to the extra mile. And a very, very interesting situation we're watching here. And I hope whatever the decision, the fan base gets behind it, because these guys can obviously play.
Yeah, I think it's generally acknowledged that the difference for Penn State wrestling is they have some guy yelling into a mic occasionally when they do well. That's the great inspiration. That's what people are saying. That's what I've heard.
Jeff, you and I are the anti-Kale.
Yeah.
We're the anti-Kale. We lose our minds over stuff all the time.
Fair enough.
My buddy Rich, one of my teammates sent me a picture of the Brands brothers and the Iowa coaching staff going absolutely out of their mind, and then right next to it was Kale just sitting there, good match going on. Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so, very interesting.
Yeah, it is.
So a lot of cold coming. So everybody get ready. I just got my propane loaded back up again. And it starts around Thanksgiving, and it'll go back and forth for a while. I'm really concerned that the period around the Christmas holidays, traditionally when we've had setups like this, so where it really, really can get cold. I'm talking about pipe busting cold later in December. But you're going to find that overall, there'll be some days where it tries to warm up. Now we're going to tip the scale the other way, where cold is outdueling warm. And the first real shot is coming in Thanksgiving night, and you're going to get up Friday morning. It's going to be darn too. It's going to be cold at the Rutgers game too. It'll be about 40 degrees for that game on. It's Saturday, right?
Yep, it is
Saturday afternoon. Yes,
3:30.
I want to remind Penn State fans: we only got beat once this year. There's a difference between getting outpointed and losing. You see what I'm saying? And beat. Ohio State did beat us. But the rest of those games, an hour later, a different call, the team could easily be right up there. And it's really, really neat to watch them fight back. I know a lot of people aren't happy with that we were in this position, but it is pretty inspirational watching that kind of thing go on.
No, it was. What they did Saturday night was very, very impressive. It was just a great all-around effort from start to finish. And, it was fun to see.
Let me get serious here before we go.
Yeah,
If you are traveling Thursday afternoon through Friday, please, especially on I-80, please understand what these snow squalls do. They're momentary whiteouts. They come with, they'll melt on the road initially and then refreeze. And then snow on top of it. And, I'm going to Jersey for Thanksgiving this year. We're coming back at night. And I'm not taking I-80 at night Thursday night. I'm cutting down 78, stay south of the mountains like that. But you've got to be aware of that kind of situation. It's a Thanksgiving weekend. A lot of people travel on Friday, and there's going to be a lot of snow squall activity around the Northeast on Friday. So please be very, very careful. We want you to stay here because the one thing you can say, the way I babble incoherently, there's no way that I'm an AI. Jeff is not an AI, and Scott is definitely not an AI.
Hmm. Wow.
We got that going for us, which is pretty nice. In the meantime, AI or not, what, pray tell, should we do with that there weather?
Aye. Enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. God bless you both. Thank you.
And God bless you. Have a happy Thanksgiving,
Joe. You
and your family as we wrap up shop here for a Monday. We will be back tomorrow. Just try to stop us. And we'll talk to you then. Sports Radio.
Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.